Chapter 41, The Business of Belts. With the many people I met during my trip and a very successful book launch, I suddenly found myself to have become somewhat famous in the BJJ community. I was also a newly promoted black belt, granted the sudden power to promote people, and with a growing BJJ Globetrotters community around me, a strange thing started to happen. People from all over began to desire that I would be their instructor. It didn't happen overnight, and I didn't really notice it at first. But before I knew it, I was invited to teach seminars multiple times a month. I was happy to have an opportunity to keep traveling, and I continued to meet fantastic people who I still consider friends. I went all over Europe, to the Caribbean, Russia, and even flew on a weekend trip to Hong Kong, where a 3-meter-tall poster of me holding all my medals had been printed on the outside of the downtown Hayabusa gym. I started to be invited to several little training groups around Denmark and in nearby Sweden that I visited on a regular basis. But there was something else, an expectation of belt promotions. It wasn't always explicitly being said, but it was in the air. Part of the deal of inviting an open-minded black belt instructor like me to teach a seminar was that I didn't have any real expectations in return for promoting someone. We are willing to promote anyone who deserves it, members or not. That was another important and fundamental value of BJJ Globetrotters, designed to avoid people having to build relationships they didn't want to be in just to get a belt promotion. There should exist an alternative way of belt promotions for those who truly deserve it and does not require them to sign a business contract, carry a certain logo on their back, franchise their business, or invite someone for seminars every year. I didn't mind. I was happy to promote anyone who could live up to my standards. Our academy was highly competitive those years, so they were extremely high anyway. But it still didn't feel right for me. I was happy to travel and teach all my friends, but what kind of relationship was I really building with them? I would like to say that it was only partially based on them wanting the validation of belt promotions from me. But if I honestly asked myself whether I believed they would pay to invite me for seminars like that if I had told them belt promotions wouldn't be considered, I think the answer would be no. I didn't get any invitations 6 months earlier when I was a brown belt, but my ability to teach was the exact same. If I took my name and belt promotions out of the equation, the seminars didn't happen. It took a while for me to realize where I was heading. I was setting myself up to run a business of me being someone's instructor. They would literally pay me to officially recognize their achievements in the sport, their increments up the ladder of the belt hierarchy, to validate their own training by putting my name on it, even though I had only the tiniest possible influence on their skills. On one hand, I had invested more than a decade in that black belt, and this was a great opportunity to monetize it. I wasn't making much money at the gym, and suddenly I had a decent income every other weekend. It was extremely tempting to go down that path. On the other hand, nurturing these relationships, where I was somehow worth more than my friends, was so contradictory to the feeling I had of meeting people around the world on equal footing. More people were trying to book me for seminars. More people wanted to be under me. But what would happen on the day where I couldn't promote them anymore? When they were all black belts themselves and had become better athletes and teachers than me? What kind of friendship would we have then? Would I be forced to maintain my income through promoting black belt degrees? When too many people get to the top of the pyramid, you have to build another one on top of it to stay relevant. We are all one. It was tattooed on the inside of my arm on my last day in Brazil, for me to never forget that this is what I believe. And how could I believe that, but also build a business based on me being different from everyone else? On my friends wanting something from me. You only ever know the true character of someone when they don't need anything from you anymore. It was painstakingly true, and it haunted me that I was setting myself up to build relationships based on people wanting something from me. I had to get out before it was too late. The camps in Copenhagen attracted a lot of people, and the community was growing fast. I had my hands full trying to keep the little page on my blog manually updated with all the affiliated academies and individual members who messaged me to join. Hello from El Salvador. Another email dropped into my inbox that day, and I initially didn't give it much thought. A guy called Lewis had a house on the beach with mats in his garden and the idea of hosting jiu-jitsu camps there. With my confidence in hosting camps in Copenhagen, I was quick to jump on the idea, and 10 months later, I showed up in the airport in El Salvador. I had somehow managed to convince 18 people from around the world to do the same. I had no idea what I was doing, but I just treated it as a holiday with friends, and it seemed to work really well. We had a great time, and many of the people at that camp continue to be my friends to this day and can still be found on the mats at our camps every year. However, it was a giant logistical operation to run, as well as very expensive and risky. At our very first attempt, where I had no idea if I could even sell a single ticket, 18 participants just barely broke even. I believe there was a profit of around $1,000. It wouldn't have taken many fewer tickets sold before that would have become a very, very expensive holiday for me to El Salvador, and I didn't really even have any money. It was satisfying to have pulled off a camp outside of Denmark, and even more to not have lost any money on it. But the risk of it also scared me off from doing more like that. I simply couldn't afford it if it didn't sell enough tickets.